Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Get up again and smile.
Good morning and welcome to Our Black News. My name's Don Allen. I'm in Studio A, and over Studio B is Mr. Jonathan Mason. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Don?
I'm doing okay. This morning, we're going to have a lot of stuff to throw at you, and in the start of the show, I'd just like to let everybody know that we are inviting callers to call in, especially to talk about what they're doing for their health during this COVID-19 dilemma that we're in. How are you eating? How are you living? How are you staying fit? We also have special guest Mr. Fitness from the Twin Cities, the rehabilitation and fitness person here with us this morning. Also, who's going to bring some added value to this conversation. But before we get started, there's a possibility that Mohammed Noor might be... or I should say get a new trial, and hopefully he'll be released from prison. And so what's happening here is a story in the Current Tribune this morning. Attorneys, Mohammed Noor's attorney called for a new trial in Epstein, Resnick, Diamond, citing improper court decisions, which mean, and if you read the article, you'll see there were some questionable issues. The Star Tribune and Hubbard Broadcasting have filed a suit to get the jurors released, and so that's what they're kind of waiting on right now. So we'll keep in touch and keep you up to date on that. Also,
right.
Let me ask you, what's this thing with the drinking the disinfectant?
You know what? That is about the craziest thing I've ever heard. When I heard the President of the United States talking about it the other day ago during his task force meeting, and he looked over at the doctor, the new scientist that's on the task force, and I was watching the emotions of Deborah Brinks, and she was just almost petrified just sitting up there. But when he said, oh, yeah, we can zap it with some light or, you know, maybe inject, you know, maybe do some type of disinfectant injection, I knew instantly that was going to be a headline, because when you suggest that type of medical information via the bully pulpit, I think it can have ramifications. And we know this morning through the New York Post and other reputable news outlets that there was 30 New Yorkers who actually try to ingest and inject this disinfectant, and
that's crazy.
It's when you suggest this type of information.
Yeah, that's just, you know, I don't even know how people. That's just people that don't have, you know, that just don't have don't have access to a lot of news and information, because, and I have to say, common sense.
Right.
That is
right.
Something that you don't do. Hey, guys, those of you that are watching on Facebook Live, a new feed has been established by my assistant here because of some Verizon issues. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm going to blame Verizon this time. And it is back up and broadcasting, simulcasting the show via the audio of Our Black News. Yeah, when I saw that whole thing, Jonathan, I was like, okay, this is an opportunity to have some fun with it, you know, because
right.
I read the transcript. I mean, I read what he said. Light therapy, it is a real thing, and we'll ask Mr. Fitness here shortly about that. And so with that said, it's like, okay, people are going to take this to the extreme on him, and sure enough, there's like thousands of memes with people, you know, drinking bleach, Lysol. They turned Pine Sol into this, like, a pill, chewable pill. It was hilarious.
Yes. And, well, you know, they will run with it.
Yeah. And that's what they do best. You know, I like to – there we go. We're back. I like to take this moment right before we bring Mr. Fitness on and congratulate and thank all the doctors, the nurses, the in-home care people, the ambulance, EMT, firefighters, policemen, National Guard, the folks at Fort Snelling, the VA, Minnesota Assistant Council for Veterans, and everybody that has been on the front lines in combating COVID-19 in the Twin Cities, or in the state of Minnesota. Go ahead.
And I was going to say, I wanted to also say a big thank you to, you know, also to all the emergency professionals, the doctors, the nurses, all the grocery workers, you know, every essential worker working on the front lines without adequate PPE. Thank you for everything you guys are doing, because you guys are literally holding our society up by your guys' shoulders. And, you know, also to the teachers, you know, it's a difficult time right now with this distant learning, and also to the parents. You guys are essential as well, and everybody out there, you know, just keep your head up right now.
Yeah, and that's really something, and I like to segue to something real quick. All three of us are on the line now, Mr. Fitness, Mr. Mason, and myself are all parents, and, you know, this school – distance learning, while everybody, and I'm a teacher for full disclosure, but while this thing is being processed and established and refined and shortened, I'm finding it for my children, it is a overwhelming responsibility, regardless if you teach other kids or other people. It's like, you know, the mechanic, you know, he fixes people's cars, but he might have a hoopty. You know,
right?
And that's just how it is. And so you're looking at this, and the other day I spent about 4 or 5 hours after I spent 6 hours online, you know, doing what I had to do with my students. And I spent like 4.5 hours with my youngest, my first grader. And he had made way more work than my 10th graders did, which I thought was ridiculous.
Wow.
Okay.
Right.
Absolutely ridiculous. And I hopefully they'll figure out how to streamline this where the kids can check in and maybe do a couple assignments. I understand elementary school, you have to do math, you're supposed to do reading, but they're going to have to start doing what I call dedicated days, where, you know, if you're in elementary school, one day math, next day reading, another day art or exercise.
Right, right.
And they haven't got to that thinking as yet, and I think that's why many, many teachers are frustrated. And now, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Fitness to the air.
Good morning, Don.
Okay.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great, sir. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself before we move into this?
Today, you know, the topic that I'm bringing and the concerns that I'm bringing to the table is from the fitness side, which I'm just concerned about whether or not we're taking the steps we need as a Black community, taking the steps we need in order to protect ourselves on a day-to-day, and also while this virus is on top of us, it's giving us a pounding, and a lot of us has been blindsided by it, and I just want to make sure that we are taking the steps. You know, there was a lot of rumors out that the African-American community wasn't protecting themselves from other people by wearing masks and steps like that. And then the personal health stuff, the health and fitness and wellness part is really, really, really an important component in us in order for us to survive this thing and to survive our day-to-day life as we live life. And so it's, I hear a lot of things, I see a lot of things, and I share a lot of things, and people share a lot of things with me. And so my contribution to this discussion today is going to you know, kind of surround and kind of take an overview about the things that we should be doing and the things, and not be afraid of fitness and not be afraid to change your diet and not be afraid to wear a mask because there was some story out there, a brother was afraid to wear a mask because he was in fear of being shot. So, you know, back to you, Don.
Well,
hello?
Well, I think he touched on a lot of very good points. You know, we are, you know, CNN ran a show called The Color of COVID, and it kind of was stressing that Black Americans in Black America, without really basically saying it, they said it, you know, due to oppression and racism and stuff like that, but we're being affected by the various things, like you said, and it maybe it's a stigma on wearing masks in public because you might be deemed a criminal. Many of the Black community, like Mr. Fitness just touched on, you know, eating healthy, making sure your immune system's up, doing fitness workouts and stuff like that is vital. That's what I would say.
Okay, let me jump in here again and let me tell you something. A lot of brothers, I won't generalize all African American men, but a lot of us like to go in and lift a lot of heavy weights. Well, the truth of the matter is light weights actually works the muscles more. So, you know, working your muscles, you know, a lot of people are just afraid to move and afraid to, and then people are really afraid to move now that this coronavirus is loose. People are afraid to move. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't move your body, if you don't keep your blood flowing, you know, ailments, you start to get sick. Your body starts to get sick.
What are
and
some
as
exercises?
You get,
or I don't mean to cut you off. What are some exercises or activities you suggest people should do during this time?
Here's what I recommend. I think it's very, 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 very important to move. So if you're afraid to go outside or you're afraid to go outside of your yard or something, you can walk around your yard. You can walk up and down stairs. You can meet people and walk in a social distance. You can meet as a group. It's a great way to socialize walking. You don't have to go by your, you know, you don't have to do anything by yourself. You can do tricep extensions. You can do those at home. You can do tricep kickbacks. You can do those at home. You can do standing presses. Here's the benefits of exercising just in general. Let's put this virus aside. Here's what's important. Exercise controls your weight. It helps you manage things. Exercises also helps condition you from diseases, stroke, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, anxiety, many types of cancers, arthritis, and as you get on the other side of 50, it kind of helps you keep your balance so you don't have falls. Heart disease. Heart disease is huge in the Black community. And there's a stigma that if we're working out or we're being active, we're being white or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you go back, go ahead.
And I was going to say, you're right. I've picked up, you know, biking for the last couple of years, and I just recently got a new bike. And with all the trails that Minnesota has to offer, that's another, I think, outlet for people to be able to exercise lightweight, where you're being able to get your heart rate up and avoid some of those things, like you said, the heart disease and the overweight and, you know, all the other various things that come around with just being isolated in the house, I guess I could say.
Okay, with that.
Okay.
Go ahead, Don. With that said, you know, we have a lot of concerns because, and this is what I want to kind of turn direction on the conversation. Both you, Mr. Fitness, and Jonathan have said some very important things about and asked some very interesting questions about this this fitness piece during this while we're under these stay-at-home orders, but also, we're running into a case again in Minnesota's Black community where we're at the top of the disparity list for something that just started happening. And so again, our health concerns, the information that needs to get out to the community is not getting out to us. And part of that is a 50-50 slope, because on one hand, we don't have in our community a lot of avid readers. And who reads the newspaper every day? Who watches the news channels? You know, and I am talking about youth from maybe 12 to 28 years old, 30 years old, and how do we get the information out to them, or how do we get information out in general to let these folks know that, hey, you need to be wearing a mask in public, in some cases, gloves on, and maintain, because I could drive down the street in St. Paul, and I was in Minneapolis yesterday, and there's about 12 teenagers walking down the street together.
Don, guess what? They put, whether we like it or not, there's been tons of calls into, you know, the health department, the Minnesota Health Department, and they're very highly upset with what's going on. And we seen yesterday that Tim Walz did put restrictions on playing basketball. So a lot of the activities that Black kids and youth would be doing, they put restrictions on it. So as of May 1st coming up, you will not be able to be at the park playing basketball, doing all of these things, walking in groups of more than 10. And and this information, like you said, has to get out to our community, because, you know, you might see Tim Walz's presentation and everybody, wow, he's an amazing leader. And I like the guy, you know, personally, if, you know, man to man, I'm, you know, good guy, I'd go out to dinner with him and stuff like that. But when I'm looking for information, and we looked at that presentation last time about the information on if the May 4th extension was going to happen, all he basically said to us was schools were canceled for the year. I told people that a month ago.
Yeah.
Our
call-in number today is 347-426-3904. Again, that call-in number is 347-426-3904, and we do have a caller. Let's take this caller. Caller ending in 6612. What is your question or comment? And what's your name?
Hi. Yeah, my name is Ben. I'm back again to call again to join in the discussion.
Okay, thank you. What's your question, sir?
I got a concern that I have. Okay, so with these basketball courts, What are you trying to achieve? Because they say they want kids to get exercise. You can be outdoors and exercise. I see like they're being people are calling into the health department. Basically, listening to what they're doing, they're snitching on people. Like, what is going on? Because you're telling people this is their activity. Why? What's wrong with playing basketball with your friends?
And I think they're concerned of maybe the spread amongst asymptomatic people, and not per se the people playing basketball on the courts. And I was looking deeper into it on the Star Tribune. It's on the Star Tribune today. It's the Minneapolis to close the courts, the fields, the playgrounds, and skate parks by May 1st. So they'll be putting sand on the basketball courts and stuff like that. But when we ask the real questions, and these are the questions that we need to ask, because, you know, we have a lot of concerns, like you said, you know, why can't the kids play basketball? And I think many of us know why, due to the COVID-19 spread. But if that is the case, why are, you know, various things open and, you know, essential workers don't have PPE? And those type of questions that I think we have to start asking.
But here's another thing. I'm just saying the fact is, They put these hearings on, and they're using it and spreading fear. That's why I feel like they're doing it. They're doing it because they're spreading so much fear into the public, because they're so desperate. They're desperate because they realize they're losing power, because they know that people are going to rebel.
There will be a rebellion if they extend it on the May 4th, and we must be prepared for guns to come right back to the governor's mansion, and they will be highly upset. They will.
Thank you for the call. Keep listening and tuning in, and call back if you'd like to make another comment. Thank you for that call. Again, our call-in number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. You know, when I
John,
read that,
can I jump in here right quick, real quick?
Let me get this out. Just give me a second.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just want to dovetail from that last caller. Excuse me. Minneapolis, the city of Minneapolis, the Public Health and Safety Division, and a couple of these other groups within the city of Minneapolis are dumbfounded by the number of killings that are still happening across the city. St. Paul, too. And Minneapolis is desperate to do anything. So closing the parks and basketball courts, we know that, again, it affects us disproportionately. There's no equity in that for us at all, Black Minnesotans. And so part of this is an attempt to shut down that craziness that goes on in these hot spots. Okay?
Bingo.
And it's not going to work. It's just going to move to another area, a different activity. Idle mind is the devil's playground or whatever they say. That's true. But go ahead, Mr. Fitness.
To back up a little bit, well, first to make a comment, aren't the lakes, being on the lakes, isn't that still under question in Minneapolis and St. Paul?
I thought they had decided,
at one point they closed the lakes off and then they had backed up and said, we're going to keep them open contingent. I'm not sure. I thought I heard something about that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the article right here. They're not closing, like, the pathways around the lake. The restrictions include removing or blocking basketball rims, removing tennis and volleyball nets, and posting signs notifying park visitors that soccer fields, playgrounds, and skate parks are now closed.
Right.
Okay, so now I just wanted to back up. When we were talking about all of the, you know, keeping the young people from playing basketball and things like that, and we know it's because of the virus, but let me say something from a social psychology direction, from an angle like that. You think about the psychological effects that it affects, how it affects people and how it affects how people interact with people. Once this thing subsides, people will be socially off. So we'll be done with this virus thing, or we'll have it contained somewhat, and then we'll start to struggle again socially. You know, we're already struggling socially, but we're going to struggle socially even more once this virus is somewhat contained, and we know what the beast is. But this, people are having a hard enough time. I heard domestic abuse is up. It's up 30% or something like that around there. People are barking at people, you know, out of cars now. You know, normally that was a New York thing, but that's starting to happen here in Minnesota. And you notice people are really edgy and really tight. And I just want to mention that we have to be careful about how much we restrict people. We have to be careful about how we, you know, heighten fear, because, you know, that raises blood pressure. That, you know, that creates anxiety and hypertension.
And
that's all associated with, you know, depression. You know, so we have to be careful with that.
Yes, it does. Absolutely does.
And
caller,
if I could jump in real quick. Do we have a caller, Don?
Yeah, we do have a caller. We want to get to our callers. Again, our number is 347-426-3904. And our producers tell me this is a guy in his palatial mansion in South Minneapolis who might have been drinking a little bleach yesterday at the president's advice. Hey, Mr. M, how are you?
Mr. M.
Well, I guess the question is, how are you, Don? I mean, I'm sure as you saw the go out and drink some Lysol, I'm sure you went out and bought two bottles of it, right? But what the gentleman is saying, and that other caller too, about fear. See, this is what's really, and that can fall right at the feet of Don's beloved 45, because people don't know who or what to believe. You watch Fox, you watch CNN, you listen to the doctors, you listen to 45 who tells you to go out and drink bleach. He wants to open up everything, and the governors are taking a tack to protect their people and are trying to at least hold this thing back. But this is what causes the overall confusion, is that the people just don't know who or what to believe. And then
Mr. M, Mr. M, on that note, it's really interesting that you say that, because I know that you've been following these COVID-19 numbers, you know, from the jump. And in the beginning, and I just want to ask you that, and then you can continue, ask you this question, then you can continue. But in the beginning, it had looked like if I survived, 10 or 15 people that I knew would be dead by today when they first came out with the numbers, you know, and that was fear. And then the more they got into it and more they figured out what was going on, that high-end number where we were supposed to lose millions and millions of American people, of course, more blacks and Native Americans than anybody, it didn't happen. So what do you think about that? Because I'm feeling the same way. I mean, I'm not scared of nothing, but I felt that the media, the president, some of these city council members in Minneapolis and St. Paul, the mayors in Minneapolis and St. Paul, just really didn't know what they were talking about, and they went to the rhetorical device of fear to kind of get people to conform with and the governor to conform with what they thought should happen based on what's going on. But go ahead, Mr. M.
Well, yeah, it becomes the fear factor because you don't know how to fight it. And then, as you say, you know, every time you pick up the paper, every time you turn on the news, it pops up somewhere else. Here's a hot spot here. Here's a hot spot there. I mean, so their ability to show us that they have some knowledge of this and their ability to really have a strategy to contain this, and I think people would be more inclined to at least settle down a little bit if we had professionals.
I don't believe there is a strategy.
Well, yes.
I don't believe there is a strategy.
There isn't, and I think that that's kind of the bottom line of it, and I think that – but I still think that the 45 is holding this process back. You know, first of all, saying it's going to go away and all these really ridiculous statements. I mean, he really needs to go. I mean, he's got to a point now where now he wants to close the post office. Now he just can't focus on the needs of this country. So, like at any job, if you're poor at your job, you get fired. And that's what he needs to get is fired.
Well, we know the post office is going to be taken over, and they've been telling us indirectly. See, a lot of people don't pay attention to this information, but they said the post office was going to be closing here this summer anyway because Amazon was supposedly going to be taking over the entire U.S. Postal Service, and a lot of people don't know that information right now.
Yeah, they're in a battle.
That's by design.
They've been in
That's
a battle with these and things for a long time. I mean, I get that, but – right now, this COVID thing is really the thing we have to deal with. I mean, otherwise, we won't be here to get no mail. So we have to have a plan.
How long do you believe this is going to be? How long do you believe this pandemic is actually going to take us to get out of?
Well, I think they're doing an experiment on certain people in Atlanta, and I think what they're going to see is they're going to glean some information from
what,
them.
What group of people are you speaking about? The black people?
Well, I mean, Atlanta is a heavily African American city, so I'm going
and
to surmise.
They do have the highest HIV rate as well. So, and they're taking high anti immunity drugs as well. So maybe that could be experiment to see if the immune deficient down there with the AIDS population will die off quick.
Ooh, Mr. Fitness, what do you think? Why don't you get joined in this conversation?
I'm at the medicine, sports medicine level too. I'm in the medical field as well. And what's really happening here, it's really, the goal is, you know, by design. The goal is to pound the chocolate, you know, because when this virus first started, it was hitting the white community. But, you know, as it worked inward, it started to hit the black community. And then it became the focal point. That became the focal point of the rhetoric was, you know, it's because the blacks don't do this or it's because the Hispanics don't do this. You know, the truth of the matter is that they're trying to decrease the population. I didn't want to say it. That's what I feel. And I have a friend.
Because we know.
Yeah, listen. I have a friend. I have a female friend that works at the CDC level that I spoke with from out east. And she said to me, is it happening? Yes, it's occurring. But most of the people that are getting really hit by this virus are seniors, are older people, people with pre-existing conditions. If you are a person that have heart, you know, you have heart issues, you've had open heart surgery, you just had your digestive tract worked on, if you have mental illness, if you just had your knee ACL, anything that breaks down your immune system, and if you get hit by this virus, it's going to knock you back. Also, it is true. It is true when you heard the Surgeon General say about the drinking and you know, if you spend drink, but if you don't, if let's say this coronavirus was not even here. We all know, all of us on this phone and the people that are listening, everybody knows if you spent 20 years drinking, doing drugs or anything like that, it's going to affect you, especially when you get on the other side of 50. So you think now you add a lack of exercise, poor diet, you know, whatever your guilty pleasures are. If you add that and then this virus on top of that, it will destroy you. There, you have no chance of beating this thing. So now moving over to Atlanta, Georgia, they really get it in down there. They really have a good time, and they're not careful, and it's dangerous. And you know what? I heard most of the business people, the black businesses down there, which are small businesses, I heard half of them opened, and then the majority of them remain closed. Now, if I'm wrong on something, you know, somebody can correct me, but.
No, you're
it's
right.
It's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster.
No, yeah, and you're right. And I think they're doing these, but you know, these areas of highly black populated groups of people where they're allowing these businesses to open up. And I seen like 2 Chainz open up his restaurant, but then he turned around and closed it. Which was a smart idea due to, you know, backlash and stuff like that. But I think that Atlanta, Georgia.
Hello? Yeah. You dropped out.
They're going to be in trouble.
And I like to interject here. It's one of the things that, you know, I'm not saying we're not sitting up here complaining at all whatsoever, because no one wants to complain or, you know, really don't want to listen to anybody complaining, but I think there was some business opportunities within COVID-19 for the black community, but I don't think in Minnesota we had the business acumen or even the backing from private individuals to even up start a business to make ventilators or N95 masks or et cetera. And I think that there's been a lot of missed opportunities. There continues to be missed opportunities. So what? Let me ask you, I have M, I have Mr. Fitness, I have Jonathan here. Everyone's live on the line. You're listening to Our Black News. It's 10:03 a.m. in the morning. We're on till 10:30 today. What can we do to increase business opportunities for black Minnesotans during this COVID-19 crisis? Let's go with Mr. Fitness and then to M and then Jonathan, you wrap it up on this. What's your thoughts, guys? Go ahead.
Here's the approach. The approach is that we, each individual that wants to be a business person, the first thing you need to understand is you need to understand how business works. You have to understand and there's different models depending on what industry you go into. Okay, if you go into restaurants, if you go into fitness or rehabilitation, you go into the hair cutting, you know, makeup, whatever business you decide to go into, you have to really understand how the industry works. And I don't want to say it's a black person's, black people problem, but I want to say it's important for black people to understand how money works. Money works better when you know what you're doing with it. And business works when you learn how to make business relationships. I don't want to generalize, but a lot of black people want to be in business, but they don't know how to make business relationships work. If I'm making $50 on something and I'm bringing you to the party, I'm supposed to make a little bit more than you because I'm bringing you to the party. A lot of black business people think if I'm making $50, then you should make $50. If you make $50, I should make $50 too. Not if you're bringing me to the party. We really have to focus on that and credit. We don't respect credit. A lot of us don't respect credit, and a lot of us don't know how to sit on money. We have to learn to pinch, and we have to learn to be frugal with our money, and we have to learn to start relationships with other people. I think it's really important to do that because I couldn't be successful if I just concentrated on one color. I love to do business. I do business with black people that have businesses, but you can't just – not in Minnesota. Minnesota is a predominantly white state, and so you have to build your relationships in order for you to expand. That's my take on it.
Okay, M, what do you say?
Boy, I say the fitness king is just spot on. I mean, I'm about ready to call him the business king now because he hit kind of the salient points that we, you know, this virus, as everything, every downturn, every, anything that's a downturn, it's going to hit the black community harder. No matter what it is, it's going to hit the black community harder. And, you know, as my dad would say, the only way you're going to catch a man ahead of you in a race is to run faster. And see, and this is what we're behind. And this
wow,
is
that's
what
powerful. That's very powerful.
We talk about business, as the fitness king said, and now I call him the business king too. They don't realize that when you open your doors, your business partner is Uncle Sam, okay? That if you're going to hire somebody and you're going to pay them and you're going to take their taxes out, you're going to have to pay this. If you're going to be frugal and if you're going to be about business, you're going to pay that every month. You're going to pay your taxes every month to the bank. You're going to pay all your FICA. You're going to do
– yes.
And the first year that you don't do that, basically you're out of business because you're so far behind the eight ball that you can't catch up.
Sure.
And so
sure.
We need education is really our key, and it always has been in my mind.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to go in, whatever you want to study, you need to know what you're doing, and you need to prepare yourself, and you got to be prepare yourself for failure because at first – years is going to be tough unless you walk in with customers. You have to have a big plan. Marketing plan. You have to have a key customer plan and an operations plan.
I absolutely love their ideas. During this time of COVID, I think specifically what you can do right now is look up the various ways how to actually start a business. So you go grab your LLC. It costs about $160 to go start a business. You can go get it formulated. I used a lawyer to get all the paperwork done right. And so once you formulate an LLC, that provides the cushion between you and the customer. Then you get your website started. You know, you get your website started. You go on the various platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Also, you set up a business checking account as well. Mr. M touched on the taxes aspect of it. That's major, and you can pay quarterly or you could pay yearly, and then also implement the sales tax in there. As far as right now to get ahead, you know, you must run faster. And sometimes running faster is not getting behind the eight ball. So going to school for business is really not even logical, especially if I just gave you the blueprint how to open up a business yourself. And then creating those networks within Minnesota. We have so many various small businesses, whether it's black, white, indigenous, POC, where they have so many different avenues for you to be able to touch into. So, you know, working with the DBE and working with these various agencies to get you up to par with other businesses, to get you into the system to be able to process it just like any other system. So, you know, you get on e-commerce. I would get ahead of the eight ball right now, getting anything and everything online. So if you're setting up eBay account, you got Etsy, if you're doing crafts, if you are doing tutorials, are you getting on YouTube? Are you a musician? Are you getting on iTunes and doing the various things that you need to do to get monetary gain? So a lot of our things and a lot of our struggle within the Black communities, we're fighting for freedom, we're fighting for justice, we're fighting for these things that we know that are unjust, but we're doing it for free, and we're actually giving all of the solution to a group of individuals who are actually capitalizing on it, and they're writing books about it. So there's been many times where I fought for individuals and stuff like that, and they took it. So for me, I'm writing books. I'm writing kids' books. I'm going online. I'm finding publishers.
Yeah.
I started my own business.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, we have another caller. Let's get this call. Appreciate it, John. You're live on our news. Getting an 8867. This is probably not going to work. Caller, you need to turn your computer or your iPad or laptop down.
Don, am I still on?
Yes, you're
I had a question for you. I have a question for you about the last topic here on Black businesses.
Yes.
Wasn't there an organization here in the Twin Cities called MITA at one time, and it was their role to really nurture and possibly fund and train individuals in business? Wasn't there such an organization at one time?
I believe you are correct. They were on Penn and Plymouth. Let me
give you the history of MITA. MITA was located, my office was next door to them from 2003 till 2010, downtown Minneapolis, right off Washington and 2nd. MITA was ran by a lady named Yvonne Tung Ho, who would get minority businesses, all businesses, especially, you know, people that wanted to get together that didn't have the knowledge and the depth. MITA had an organized and structured business intake program that would nurture these businesses, help you create a website, sometimes pay for that website up to like 3 or 4 or 5 years, and have IT people to update your website, add information. And Yvonne Chung Ho was revolutionary in her approach to business. Later on down the line, and if you were a bigger business making some money, wanted to make more money, there was a small fee. Because MITA is a nonprofit. Minneapolis Economic and Development Agency is the name, and the acronym is MITA, M-E-A-D-A. And so back in 2000, I want to say maybe 11 or 12, whenever Yvonne Chung Ho left, she just retired or moved on to another job, Gary Cunningham, who is the wife of former Minneapolis mayor, or the husband of former Minneapolis mayor, Betsy Hodges, took over MITA. And I need to give you this history, Jonathan and callers, so you understand exactly what happened and how the Black community was bamboozled, hoodwinked, and sidetracked by MITA after Yvonne Chung Ho left. So Gary Cunningham takes over. He comes in. And when you have debt, if you've given loans to folks to help them out and they default, you know, there's a system where you sell the loans to companies to collect and you recapture some of your cash, so it's not 100% loss. Well, the crew down there did not have the acumen to do that. That's the first thing. The second thing was an uptick in charges to local businesses and a move away from small Black businesses and minority-owned businesses, unless you were in the Somali community. I just have to tell you the truth. And so if you remember when Thor shut down, when Thor shut down, we heard Gary Cunningham, we read in the Star and Tribune that he was going to try to negotiate this, this, that, and this to help Thor reopen and pay its debts and do this and do that. But you have to understand.
Give me a minute.
But you have to understand that if MEDA under Gary Cunningham has never raised 15 to 25 million to 120 million, which is what it would have taken for Thor to be have on the correct ongoing means to survive, then how could he do it, you know, at this particular time? It just, it wasn't going to happen. So while MEDA was there to do X, Y, Z, there were other agencies that stepped in. Neon on Broadway, ran by a guy named Owens. He's a cool dude. I went to high school, Minneapolis Central, with his dad, Greg Owens. And his son, he's very sharp. But still, again, you have an agency that's limited by the capacity because of funding, and again, it's a black ran agency in Minnesota. They're not there to, they can't be there to create the millionaires that are created like in New York, Los Angeles, Florida, Miami, Florida, Houston, Texas, at to do these type of things. So what you have here, and I got to give you this history so you know exactly what's going on. And so you don't have a business mechanism in Minnesota for the black community, not even the in the IT area, to facilitate. Again, let's look back. We're talking about business. Mr. Fitness, Mr. Jonathan Mason, Mr. M, we're talking about business in Minnesota. If Minnesota had a fluent black business, I don't want anybody to call up and say that I'm like dissing the black community at all whatsoever. I'm just trying to tell you what I see and what is there. If we had such a fluent and vibrant black business community in Minnesota, Prince's Estate, Paisley Park, would have never been sold to the company that runs Elvis Presley's estate down in Memphis.
That is true.
That's true.
Okay? So we and the people that work at these nonprofits, okay, I think there might be one, and that's maybe it, that could write a check for $5,000 to their agency on the board and could write a check and walk away, and it wouldn't hurt them. So we're
probably $5,000.
Yeah, we're strapped. They can't. There's probably one in this state that can do that. One.
Don, this is Mr. Fitness. Can I jump in here a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Jonathan writes books. Right, he writes children's books. I'm writing a book right now. I got a chapter that's called The Blackout. And now this is just my observation of Minnesota. And just for the record, I don't want to say it's all white businesses, all Asian businesses, all Latino businesses, etc. What I'm telling you now is that there is a covert under the table coup that blocks black people out of the business sector, okay? And that's why I said earlier, it's essential for you to establish relationships with people of different colors, different backgrounds. Because if you don't do this, what happens is you get pigeonholed. And what they do is they block you out. What do I mean by block you out? Basically,
you mean building a bridge or going across and working with the white community?
In all communities. You want to be well versed. You want to be well versed.
Right. The only community that got the money that can get things functionally going is the white community. So, and you've mentioned all the other communities with our community. So you mean working across the table to work with the white community?
Here's the deal. The blackout, how that system works, it's a system, and it's attached to systems. See, you can control things if you can get in if you learn how the systems work. You have to learn, just like when you first learn how to drive a vehicle, you have to learn how everything works in order for you to be proficient at it. This is how business works. This is how things work in the world. And what they do is for many years they hid a lot of secrets. Thank God for the internet. For anybody that wasn't able to go to college, get a good, you know, get a master's, what have you, a doctorate, the internet has evened the playing field considerably. And I'm educated, and I've learned things on the internet that I didn't know, but they squeeze you, they block you out. Like, I'm in sports medicine, fitness, dance, life coach stuff. I'm involved. I'm in the belly of the beast of it for 30 years now. And if I wouldn't have established those relationships early on in my life and show good work ethic, you have to have drive. Like, in my neighborhood, I live in the Summit Hill community, homeowner. And when I go outside and do something in my yard, I do it at a high proficient level. Because even though you don't want to compete, see, let me say this. In education, most black students are just trying to survive. The white students, Asian students, not all whites and not all Asians, but a lot of them, they are competing with us. And we have to know how to compete. A lot of us can't compete.
Right.
And
I want to touch on one subject that you talked about and was systematic, is we have to remember it's a capitalistic system rooted, it's pent up against us. That's why you feel like people are competing with us, because we were strategically built not inside of this system. So when you're not inside of the system.
Systems, plural. It's plural.
It's multiple systems, but I'm talking about the system of capitalism, the main system that we all have to run off of. So that's why your cell phone costs a bill, and your gas costs a bill, and why it's a capitalistic system. So everything's done off money. Mr. Fitness wants to get some money. So, so when I say that, I mean we have to be proficient. We know how to get don't get it twisted. We know how to get money. We just like you said, we're not frugal with our money. We spend our money in the wrong areas, and and we're trying to now create an image of acceptance for a system that's not even there, when we can create our own system. And I think if we work on getting acclimated in the things that we know we have to do, rooting out a lot of the generational curses that were in us for years and years and years, you know, like bad eating habits, and we call it soul food, and it actually gives you a heart attack. So we have to start working on how to shift the pendulum on how to work in the system with our mindset of love and justice and all that, but still being able to interact with the various.
I agree. I agree with you, Jonathan. Okay, Miss, go ahead, Don.
But let me pose this question to all three of you gentlemen. And again, our number is 347-426-3904. Again, our number is 347-246-3904. It's 10:22 a.m. on this beautiful Saturday morning, and we'll be on the air here until 10:30. But let me throw this out there. By the way, this discussion has been great. What does 2023 look like? What is the new normal? Do we go back to the same disparities pre-COVID-19? Is there a change in the construct? Or, as you guys stated eloquently, the system? Is there equity for black and brown boys and girls in school? Is there equity for black business? Or do we just go back to the old new normal? And I'll start with you, Mr. M. What's your opinion on that?
Well, basically, Minnesota is its own beast. I mean, you can go, like the gentlemen were saying, you go to places like Houston, Atlanta, L.A., black people have a foothold, at least somewhat of a foothold in their area, in their cities. Here in Minnesota, you cannot go to any black power brokers, per se, to say, okay, I'm starting my business. They really don't, they may exist, but they're not accessible to someone just starting out. They're not accessible.
Sure.
They may be here. So my thing is this. We have to, we can't assume that we can go to black people. We have to, as the fitness, and I'm getting ready to call in the business king, says, you have to network. And I just give you a quick example. When I was in my business at one time as a rehabilitation counselor in court, I met a guy through my wife's uncle, and we played tennis. I didn't know this guy was the biggest workers' comp attorney in Minnesota. I go to a cattle call where people were getting turned down for benefits, and I'm there with all these lawyers, and he walks up to me and shakes my hand and says, "How's that tennis game?" After that, I ran out of cards, giving cards to attorneys in that room. So you have to align yourself with people that know you. And so, I used to tell my father-in-law, it's about who you know. And he's like, no, not all the time. It's about who knows you. And you have to get out there and show that you have the goods. You have the goods. You can back it up. You know what you're doing. And you'd be surprised. There are people out there that when you're talking about business, you're talking about money. Money is the name of that game. And so
okay,
we're talking about we bring something to the table. You know, you can network with people, but you're going to have, like Dad said, you're going to have to run faster. And, too late to go to college for some people. But you can learn so much. Like I said, the Internet, learning from other people. I'll end by just saying, when they started law schools here, there was no law schools, okay? When these people come over here, you just work for a lawyer, and then you could get your – you could be in the bar, take the test – and you're in. There was no schools. There wasn't anything. So you can learn many, many, many things on the job and with your own ambition. And that's kind of what we need. We need to get out of this welfare mentality. We're waiting for a check, waiting for somebody to give us something.
Yeah.
No, we need to
go
get
it. Right. I know that's right. We have less than 3 minutes, and I would like Mr. Fitness to answer this question. What does the future look like? Do we go back to the new normal? Go ahead.
Here's my take. First of all, Mr. M, dynamic person, wealth of knowledge, total respect for you. I just like how you handle yourself and how you carry yourself and how you represent yourself. And Jonathan too, I just amazing people. And Don, I rock hard for you because you're an amazing person. I think you're a fantastic teacher, super father. But here's what it is at the end of the day. We have to understand that there are some models that we've been designed to fit the construct of that we cannot go back to. Now, rather, will most black people understand this, that we have to press on? We are in a high crisis time in the country, in the state, in our homes. And we have a responsibility, and I'm talking to the brothers. I'm not talking to men in general. I'm talking to us brothers. We have a responsibility to be accountable for what we have to get done. And we have to stop blaming other groups. Yeah, there are other groups that's working, against us. That's how it's always been. So it's not new news to us. But we do have to work to change our attitudes on how we approach things, learn to work together, learn that if I make $3 more than you, I'm not trying to beat you. It's just that I brought you to the party. So if you move into my house, I'm going to cut here, but, I'm just saying we have to do something different to make a difference. And also, if I could just say one more thing, I highly recommend black people to get CPR AED certified. I think it's really essential to have that tool in the home to help our families and our elderly parents and brothers and sisters. I think it's important to do that.
Absolutely. Hello?
Yeah, Jonathan, we have less than a minute. You'd like to...
Absolutely. I believe those guys are right. We have to network. We have to understand what we're doing in this system of capitalism. And there's so many opportunities within this COVID-19. Everybody just needs to, take heed to all the directions and warnings that are coming out from this. But other than that, Don, we did it again.
Yep. I'd like to thank everybody for listening today to Our Black News with Don Allen, myself, and Mr. Jonathan Mason on the other side. We'd like to thank our special guest, Mr. Fitness, for coming on and hanging out with us the whole show. We'd like to thank Mr. M, as usual, our friend of the show calling in. We'll be back next week, another topic, and maybe even a national interview. Thank you for listening.